Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's special. You know what I'm saying? I'm so thankful. I can't even put it into words, honestly. Like, I'm just happy for this opportunity and want to get going. You know what I'm saying? Help the guys that are going to be new coming in and help us win.
Aha. Taron Johnson on his extension with the Buffalo Bills.
Aha. I saw what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? Taron Johnson, big news for the Bills for the day. He was extended.
You think he's going to get a captain? He's going to get a C?
He might on the defense, because he's been a solid player. He's great in the locker room. In the press conference, he mentions that he's willing to do whatever it takes to get these young guys ready to go out. So, yeah, I would say he's probably a safe bet for a captain. Another little bit of Bills news. Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz was reporting earlier today that free agent safety Julian Blackman is scheduled to meet with the Bills.
Ooh.
That's a big
look
one.
Look at this that just came out.
What?
Just Curtis Samuel, you know what number he's going with?
One. I love it. We have a number one on the Buffalo Bills.
I honestly wish that he went with zero.
Yeah, but that was Nyheim. He actually signed with the Browns today, officially. Did you see that?
No.
Nyheim Hines signed a one-year, $3.5 million dollar contract with the Browns.
I felt bad for him because he was expected to basically be the number two or just the kick returner, and he was going to wear zero.
Yeah, he had zero, and he honestly, I think, unfortunate jet skiing accident didn't happen, he would have been utilized as a pass-catching running back as well, because that's where he was huge, right? He could have been your gadget, your McKenzie when you moved on from him, right? Khalil Shakir instead steps out, he's your slot guy now, and whatnot. But I do want to touch on this. We have Brayton Wilson of WGR and WBEN joining the show here to talk some more Sabres Kraken and the playoff push coming up in about 10-15 minutes here. So we're going to talk some Sabres there. I do want to get some thoughts maybe. We heard from Louis from St. Bonaventure earlier in the show in the first hour. We heard, you know, some Bills talk here. I want to get some in. The draft. The draft is what I want to talk about, because now you've heard mixed reviews, right? I'm on the wide receiver train. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not. But some people are saying go for tackle in the first round, defensive tackle, right? You got the Texas tackles. Look at that. You could do some magic there. If your wide receiver you're looking for in the first round is gone, do you do that? And how many picks are the Bills actually going to use? Brandon Bean has 11. I think they use under 8. I think they trade him away.
I think that they're going to get up and try and get my dream scenario without like throwing the house, Brian Thomas Jr. That's who I would love to see.
I think that's a lot of people's dream scenario. And even Leggett, he's coming into the conversation now. Did you see that? He talked about Josh Allen and how he's a heck of a guy and, you know, he wants to play with him. Like, we need a wide receiver. The Bills need a wide receiver. You there's the train horn. I love it. There we go. So the Bills need a wide receiver. I think you trade, you have a plethora of picks in the fourth. You trade those away, you move up to the third, you get a wide receiver in the one and the first and the third, and then from there you fill it out. That's kind of how I expect the draft to go.
I would like safety, but I've heard the safety class isn't really
that
good.
It's not great.
If you're going to go safety,
you have Justin Simmons, who's a free agent, right? Yeah. You have guys, and that's why they're looking at Julian Blackman. He's a free agent safety, right? So, and honestly, the way, I don't know if you heard Sal Capaccio talking about this earlier today. The Bills aren't going to bring in a young safety. They're going to bring in someone who has experience, who has field presence, who has the knowledge to fit into their system, because that is one thing about Sean McDermott, right? Defensive back guru. That secondary has been one of the most pivotal parts to this Bills team in the resurgence of it, right? Since the drought. Even with Josh Allen, before Josh Allen came around to pilot the ship, it was Tre'Davious White and company on the defense. It's just how it was. Unfortunately, they moved on from Tre'Davious White. But you have Benford. You have Rasul Douglas, who you've now extended. As soon as that happened, you knew Trey White might not have stuck around, right? You have the guys now. The secondary, I think, is going to be just as good. You've got Matt Milano coming back. That was the biggest injury to that Bills defense, because we're calling A.J. Klein off the flight from Florida with his family to come play against Kansas City Chiefs, and he's getting killed by Travis Kelce out there. If you had Matt Milano, I think that game goes a different way. That's all I'm going to say. But maybe if we have anyone listening out there, if you want to give us a call, 716-803-0550, give us your thoughts. Are you on the wide receiver train? Are you on the wagon? Or are you maybe thinking something else? Are you thinking tackle, no matter what, defensive tackle in the first round? Are you thinking safety? Do we branch? Do we trade up, trade down? What? I don't really know. I don't really know. I know how I would want it, but if anyone else out there has any other ideas, feel free to call in or tweet at @TheBuffalonian_ to get a hold of me, or at WGR550 to let us know. So the draft is definitely an interesting thing. It's coming up fast. The offseason moves quick. Football is a 12-month sport because of how they have it set up. So the legal tampering period begins. Now we've seen the Bills purge, right? They've gotten a couple of those pieces back. They've signed a couple guys that they have wanted to sign, but they didn't have cap space for it before. They restructure Allen. They free up the room. So now it's like, okay, we have a lot of those positions filled. What do you do in the draft? Wide receiver is the common pick here. Common pick. Let's go to Sam in Buffalo, getting connected with our fans. Sam, what do you think?
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys. I was looking at the draft, and I'm on the train of we should try and trade up to try and get our guy to replace Diggs in the next couple of years. So I was kind of looking at the teams that are going through kind of like the rebuild phase. And the one that stuck out to me was the Raiders at 13. So I don't know if you think that anyone is really going to be there, but I feel like we could possibly trade our first this year and a second and maybe a second of next year to try and go up to that 13 spot, depending on if, like, Malik Nabers is still in that kind of area. I don't know about your thoughts on that, but that's kind of what I was looking at.
Yeah, Sam, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm not opposed to anything you said there. Truthfully, it's not a replacement for Diggs. We're not trading him away. That's not happening. There's no cap space to do that. The dead cap would be detrimental to the further development of this team. You can't do that. So Diggs is on the older side of his career too. He's on the other side of it. When he signed his big deal a couple of years ago with the Bills, he said he wanted to retire a Buffalo Bill, right? So you gotta kind of think, hey, this wide receiver might end up being the future wide receiver number one, the first rounder you end up getting. And Sam, like to me, seems to be on the wide receiver train right out the gate. So I don't think it's a bad idea to trade up for a wide receiver. Here's what I think, though. I don't think you have to go up super high. The Raiders are definitely a good team to do that with. Don't get me wrong. I'm not really going against that. I think there's going to be such a quarterback frenzy for the teams that really, like, you think Denver's not, like, they've Jared Stidham and who else? I'm trying to think. I'm at a loss. I forget. They traded away Drew Locke. That was years ago. Then you have Russell Wilson, all that dead cap. He's getting a vet minimum and still getting paid crazy amount, technically. So, like, who Who's their other quarterback? Do you know, Evan? Jared Stidham and who else? I know Josh Dobbs just got signed by the Niners.
That quarterback room is terrible. They need to go into a... What's going to end up happening is they're going to obviously draft a new guy, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Jared Stidham, and that's the one everyone sees. They're giving Stidham the edge as QB1 1 day ago from Sports Illustrated. That's what you're running with. That sounds like a great winning game plan, let me tell you that. I don't know. I think there's going to be a QB frenzy, back to Sam's point. I don't think you might not need to go up that high. Do you agree with me, Evan? What do you think? Like, I think the QB frenzy is kind of... And the wide receiver class is so deep that you might be able to get away with... Hey,
Ben DiNucci is the other quarterback
even
on
worse.
The Broncos.
Yeah, even worse. XFL, now UFL guy. That's where he was at. So that's even. Ugh.
Let's be honest. They're gonna
trade up to draft a quarterback.
They're gonna
draft
a quarterback, and I'll tell you, JJ McCarthy is getting, in my opinion, way too much hype.
See, I can see
people
where
are saying, yeah, he's a winner. He knows how to win.
I would say he's gonna be that Jared Goff kind of quarterback. At
maybe
best. That's kind of, because look at Michigan won the championship. He threw it like 10 times, right? Something like that. I don't know if it was the championship game, but in that playoff span, might have been against Alabama. He only threw it 10 times. People are coming at him for that. He might be that game manager-esque, but not just a game manager, because that's almost an insult nowadays. But he's going to be that Jared Goff, right? He's going to be able to command the offense, hand off the ball. He's going to know the signals. He just doesn't have the rocket arm or the crazy athletic ability, right? That's kind of what you see with him. And
I mean, he was in an offense where...
It wasn't pass heavy at all.
Yeah.
It was all run heavy. That's a Harbaugh.
He went 10 of 18 in the national championship game.
Yeah, so he attempted 18, completed 10 passes. So it wasn't a run heavy game. So I don't know. The draft is interesting. You know, you never know what exactly is going to happen. It's just kind of I don't know if you have to trade that much away to get up to pick 13. To grab a receiver when it's going to be a quarterback frenzy, I think, for a lot of teams trading picks away. So, I don't know. But in more pressing news, the Sabres are playing tonight, as we talked about, a lot in the first hour against the Seattle Kraken, a team who they have not defeated once. And boy, oh boy, are they due for it. Brayton Wilson of WGR and WBEN joins us now. Brayton, the Sabres are now 5 points out from a playoff spot. They had the opportunity to be 1 point out. What are your general thoughts going into this Kraken matchup after they've never beaten them in the regular season before?
Well, it certainly becomes every game is a must win from here on out.
Right.
I mean, then they're not going to win every game from here on out.
No.
I mean, the chances of that are
they can't win more than three in a row.
Right. They can't win more than three in a row. Originally this season, it was they can't win more than two in a row. But at least the positive is in this circumstance is they haven't lost more than three in a row this year. They've lost three in a row a couple times. But since then, it's been you lose one here, you lose two here, you win one here, you win two here, so on and so forth. The Sabres seem like they are putting it together. But when it came to Saturday's game, they resorted a little bit back to some of their bad tendencies early in the year when, hey, you had a great first period or a great opening 30 minutes of play, and then they just kind of sat back thinking, oh yeah, this is in the bag. We're playing so well right now. The other team makes an adjustment, and the Sabres find themselves a step behind them, the opposition, and then they can't come back. It was the first time that happened, or not the first time, but you know, one of the instances that happened was the first matchup against the Kraken back in January.
Right.
Sabres had a great first period that game. They put up 19 shots on goal, were all over the Kraken, all over Joey Decord, getting shots to the net, really making things tough for him. And then all of a sudden, they get down 2-1 in the first period, which was just so disappointing because
I was at that
game.
Yeah.
They were great to start, and despite that, they were down 2-1. They get an early goal to tie it, and then Seattle gets three unanswered goals, goes up 5-2, and all they have to do in the third period is sit on that lead and just kind of keep the Sabres to the perimeter, which they did with ease.
Yeah, they just played cat and mouse with the puck the entire time. That's it.
And there's been too many times this year where the Sabres have found themselves in a situation where they need to have that extra push. They need to have that extra oomph to their game, and they just don't get it. And that's the disappointing part, is because they've shown instances in the past, whether it was last year or this year even, that they have that ability to provide that extra oomph into their game and really kind of test the opponent and really make things difficult for them on a 60-minute basis. The game against the Islanders might have been the best case of that instance the entire year.
Yep.
They played a full 60 minutes and it was on full display the entire game.
High pace, fast action, everything. Like it was the team you saw last season.
Right. And then the Detroit game instantly wiped that away. They played a great 20 minutes and then after that, the final 40 minutes, they got disjointed. They looked like they were forcing too many things trying to happen, and they got down 2-1, and they never recovered.
Yeah, I mean, Tage Thompson even said that in his post-game presser. They were trying
Cousins
to force some things.
Too.
Dylan Cousins, yeah. It's essentially, if you were to compare it to anything the Bills did, it's week one against the Jets this past season, just forcing things that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
And it's like, it's tough because you want to back the team. You do. I get excited. The notion of them being 1 point out again and they actually had games left, it wasn't like at the last season where it was, oh, we lost 8 games in November. If we won one of those, we'd be in. You had a shot here to go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you'd be 2 points out of a playoff spot right now.
Yep.
You'd be 2 points behind the New York Islanders and the Washington Capitals at this point.
Yeah.
And the thing that's going to hurt the Sabres especially more is Washington has 2 games in hand on the Sabres. The Islanders have 1 game in hand. Even Pittsburgh has a game on hand. And Pittsburgh has all of a sudden come back into the playoff race after everybody was like, nah, they're dead.
Yep.
They're done. They traded Gensel. They're selling. Yes, they still have Crosby, but who else is contributing after Crosby? Malkin's not really doing much. Jeff Carter is completely washed, and there's a bunch of other players on that roster that a lot of people were looking at and were saying, Pittsburgh's done. Like they really need to rebuild. I know that Sidney Crosby is still good, and he's playing at the top of his game, arguably one of the best seasons he's had in years.
Right.
But the team isn't doing anything, and now all of a sudden they're back in it, and Buffalo's kind of just sitting there just, you know, they're going to miss out on these opportunities, and that's something they can't be doing at this point of the season. They have to capitalize when the opportunities come for them, and it's not coming consistently enough. The team this year, the phrase I've been using with this team is consistently inconsistent.
Yeah.
And you know, the three
games
that
they
played.
Said that 3 times already.
The
it's
three
crazy.
Games that they played against Edmonton, against Detroit, the first one, and mm-hmm. against New York, kind of looking at that made me think, okay, maybe they've kicked that notion and they're finally going to put something together. But then, obviously, the Detroit game happens in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and here we go again with that narrative.
Right, and that's the thing I was saying earlier. I was able to sit down for the Islanders game and watch it all the way through. I don't think I've been able to do that for many games this season because it's just like third period, I'm turning it off. It's just a waste of my time. And now you're sitting here like, okay, you know, the coach was getting his head called for earlier in the season, right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather them, I guess, go all the way, miss it by like a point, and then he stays, right? Of course.
Yeah, I would say so.
And
probably.
What happens now if they lose out, though? I don't mean to speak that into existence. I'm knocking on wood as I say it.
Well, I mean, you kind of play things out in your head and you think, how are they really going to go about this?
Yeah. Levi coming up tomorrow.
Right.
So.
They're probably going to start Levi tomorrow. They can't trust Eric Comrie. He's only got 1 win this season.
Right.
And even though he played well in his last game against the Panthers where they got shut out,
mm-hmm.
it's still not good enough. They need to get the best guy in the net. And they need to play that out as best as they can in order to get themselves the best chance to try and win as many games as possible in this final push for the playoffs. And are they going to get there? I don't know. They're going to need to win as many games as possible, and they're going to need some help from other teams around the NHL.
And we're going to be scoreboard watching.
That's never a guarantee.
No.
And you never want a scoreboard watch. You never want to have to look and say, okay, if this happens and this happens and then this also happens, hey, we're 2 points back in the playoff spot. Here we go. Let's see what happens. And it's a spot the Sabres, I don't think, ever thought they were going to be in this year. And now here we are again, the same as last year. There's really 2 differences that you can really point to from this year's team and last year's team. The Sabres this year are getting the goaltending from Luukkonen that they didn't get last year.
Yeah, he's consistent.
From
yeah.
Any of the goaltenders that were on the roster last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not scoring like they were last year.
No.
They're
they called
not
back the
up,
offense. Yeah,
they're not putting up the production that they did last year at this time. It was frustrating because it's a situation where the Sabres have a lot of the same players from that team last year still here. And they're not getting the production that they got from Tage Thompson, from Alex Tuch, from Jeff Skinner, from some of these guys that were key pivotal pieces last year to their success. Now, you know, I think injuries have played a huge factor, especially with Thompson's a guy like Tage Thompson. Yeah. I don't think Jeff Skinner has been fully 100% healthy. Although, as Paul's pointed out in his articles on the website, Don Granato has been expecting a lot more from Jeff Skinner in terms of just solid on-ice play, and they haven't gotten it.
He can't play in the power play. That's something that's been glaring the entire season.
Right.
Like, he's great on 5-on-5, right?
Right.
And like you said, you can't expect more of him, but he can't play on the power play. Their power play has been one of the biggest eyesores you can look at throughout the entirety of the season. It's
so
bad.
So to go back to your original point of just like how does things play out in your head and what are they thinking about doing? I don't know. I don't know how this plays out. If they lose out, could they fire the coach? Sure.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Adams willing to fire another coach and then search for another guy? Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to lose out. I think that their schedule is somewhat favorable. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, Seattle's a tough test. Vancouver's been unbelievably good this year, which is unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got matchups with Edmonton, who they seem to always play really well in Edmonton, and Calgary, who they always seem to play really well in Calgary. And then you come back home, and all of a sudden, it's like, hey, they're playing well at home. Maybe they continue this up.
You never
know. Who knows what's going to happen in the final 14 games?
Yeah.
I certainly don't. But yeah, there's a lot of situations that you're trying to play out in your head. What happens if they lose out? What happens if they win as many games as possible and they get in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just miss out on the playoffs?
Yeah, or by one point
just,
again.
Or they're kind of just mid. They go 7-7, and
perfect,
here we go, just kind of spin the wheels here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could happen, and there's a lot of courses they could take. But, I mean, I'll give my personal opinion. I think Don Granato is safe. I think he is safe at least for another offseason. I think that they would rather try to revamp the coaching staff a little bit, maybe with the exception of Mike Bales.
Yeah, around him.
You get a new offensive assistant coach in. You get a new assistant defensive coach in to try and revamp things a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
clearly what Don Granato does works, though. Look at last season. They, and then the season before that, Tage Thompson's explosion, Dylan Cousins' explosion. They've all kind of regressed, it looks like, this season. And again, it might be because of the injury. I was there when Tage went off the ice twice because of a wrist injury, and then I hit him in the ankle, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever happened.
Yeah.
LBI, whatever it would be.
Flip those. He flip hurt
them.
The ankle first
and
then,
the wrist.
Then he broke the wrist.
Yeah, the UBI and LBI. That's it. So I'm willing to not make an excuse, but kind of think that might be the case. But at the same time, it's just kind of like you put all your eggs in the basket. You could be 2 points out. You're not, so it's like, I don't know where to go from here. And I was saying before, I have kind of been on and off with the Sabres my entire life. I was born in 2002. They had a short spurt of being decent when I wasn't able to really comprehend what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, now I'm getting more and more into it the more I watch and do podcasts, things like that. Like, I have to watch them.
Listen,
and it's tough.
It is tough. Mm-hmm. It is tough because you know that the Sabres have had this great success last year, and there was talk this year of, hey, the playoff window is open. We're going to go full bore compete.
Preseason, that was everyone's prediction.
Yeah.
Playoff berth, no holds barred.
Which
wasn't out of the question.
That meant the Sabres were garnering respect around the league.
They were on national broadcast.
If
they were talked about as the dangerous team.
If they don't have these mental lapses like they did against Detroit, the Sabres might be on their four-game winning streak, looking to win 5 in a row tonight. They have to find ways in the final 14 games of this season to not have those mental lapses. And again, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to probably lose a few games in the final 14 games. And at that point, you're kind of just hoping, okay, let's see what happens. I mean, I heard Marty and Brian talking on Sabres Live this afternoon.
Yeah.
And they were talking about just, even if you just go like 14-game point streak, 7-6, that's better than, you know, going 7 wins, 7 regulation losses. Like, it's possible. You're not going to win everyone, but if you could find a way to get a point, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to get a point, and then if you could get 2, preferably in regulation, that's even better.
Yeah.
But the problem is right now is the Sabres have to find ways to get the mental aspect of their game in check, because the game against the Islanders, I don't remember who said it might have been Cousins, but they said, we're doing everything in our power right now to get to the playoffs. That is the mind, that is the goal in mind, the focus at hand is to get to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
push for the playoffs.
Right.
And then on Saturday, they go out and have a great first period, and then those mental lapses of the season come back into play where they all of a sudden just crap the bed
And they were whiffing left and right.
They had a terrible second and third period. Mm-hmm. It's those instances where you have to overcome those mental lapses and you have to figure out how not to have those in the final parts of the season. Because if they do that at any point the rest of the way, they're toast, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's the consistently inconsistent quote right there. Can you be consistent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't sit here and say that that's a possibility.
And listen, there is nothing that has come to mind in doubts or anything that Luukkonen is going to step back in his goaltending in the final 14 games. The one goal, the first goal the Red Wings scored, yeah, not a great goal to give up, but at the same point, you know, that third goal against in the third period kind of was screened and trying to see where that play was going to read. He read it one way, and Sprong just kind of spun around and shot it towards the net, and Luukkonen didn't get a good read, and that happens. It's it's just...
A goalie's going to let a puck pass him every so often. Yeah,
right, but there's been nothing else really in my mind that has really kind of made me concerned about Lukanen's play taking a dip here in the coming weeks. Like,
no.
Nothing is. It's just a matter of this team needs to get mentally focused, and they need to really, really batten down the hatches in the final 14 games, and they need to find a way to win. That is the biggest thing going forward, is find the ways to get the gritty wins and do it any way possible.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it any better myself. We are going to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. Thank you, Brayton, for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Great to talk some Sabres coming down to the end here. Dan in Tennessee, stick around. We'll get to your call coming out of the break here. This is The Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR.
I love Buffalo. You know what I'm saying? Treat me like family here, and I've loved the guys I've played with. I've loved the guys that they've brought here. I mean, and we've been right in it every single year, you know? So just want to continue getting past that point, you know what I'm saying, and get to that Super Bowl.
Taron Johnson, once again, on his extension with the Bills, 3 years, $31 million. Got some Foo Fighters, as Christopher Walken would say, on the air here. Let's get connected with our fans in a quick little segment here before we chat with Brian Koziel and Get some thoughts on the Sabres as we near Sabres pregame at 9 p.m. Puck drop set for 10. Dan in Tennessee, what you got for us?
I got a question and a comment on the Sabres and the Bills. First of all, a winning streak is certainly possible. The Preds are on a 14-game point streak, so hopefully the Sabres can do the same.
Hopefully.
So, Granato, it's kind of win, keep your, make the playoffs, keep your job. Don't make the playoffs, finally move on. I was home over the holidays, and the question is, who's out there? One name that I thought of, I read an article about Michael Peck and the Rangers, and he's getting a lot of credit for their turnaround and then toughening up. Is there any talk in Buffalo about bringing a guy like Michael Pekka back first?
Oh, I have not heard anything specifically about a possible other coach other than Ruff. That might be the only one after his tenure in New Jersey was up. That might be the only one that people are talking about, you know.
Credit start. Why don't you start that rumor? Because you know he ended his his career here as a player on a sour note by demanding to be traded. You know, you were too young to probably remember him. He was the epitome of the Buffalo Sabres, and he'd have a chance to kind of rewrite his the end of his his story in Buffalo. And then on the Bills, who was the safety you mentioned is visiting Buffalo?
It is. Let me just pull it up quickly here. Sorry, just gotta. Got to get to the page here. It is Julian Blackman. So he's safety, free agent safety. Let's see. He in the 2023 season, he had 88 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, while also breaking up 8 passes as well. Career year for him. He'll be 26 the start of next season, so he can make an immediate impact. And he'll have a significant role with the Bills, honestly, if the two sides can agree to a deal. So he went for a visit. I don't know. I got to see where he played last because, he sounds like a great prospect. He...
We'll kind of fits that Poyer-Hyde transitional year and then let McDermott do what he does with them. You know, I'm still on the wide receiver train. I think what Curtis Samuel does is it gives you a chance to let the draft come to you, so to speak.
Right.
We got other holes to fill. I think we all agree we still need that big receiver, and there's a few guys that fit that mode. And if he's there at the end of one, great. If not, take a defensive end, which we obviously have a need there. and you know, and then get the wide receiver in the second. But I'm with you. We don't have enough spots for 11 picks, so bundle them and move up.
Yeah, that's
thanks
kind
for the call. I appreciate for taking my call.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you for the call. Much appreciated. Yeah, Julian Blackman played for the Colts previously. 2021, 27 tackles. 2022, 36. 2023, 65. So he really exploded. So, and he's 26 years old, or 88 tackles, excuse me. 5 tackles for loss. He's at 26 years old. And that's according to NBC Sports. So, that's, listen, I like that because you kind of have to get a younger guy, but a guy who's been around and maybe coming off a career year can start a streak of career years. So, it's kind of what you had. I mean, Leonard Floyd had a career season. That's why he went elsewhere. He signed with the Niners now, right? Believe so. San Francisco 49ers, Leonard Floyd. So, yeah, listen, the Bills are in a good spot right now in the draft. You bundle up those fourth rounders, you move up, wide receiver one, wide receiver in round three. You fill in from there. I'm good with anything. And even the defensive tackle, I'm not really. I like the front seven right now, don't get me wrong. But to add good depth, I am all for good depth, believe me, because the injury bug bit the Bills hard this year. And, you know, it was tough to kind of make their way through the rest of the season. And that's got to be a credit to McDermott and the coaching staff. Truthfully, operating that defense in the state it was in after losing Matt Milano and your key starters, Tre'Davious White ruptures his Achilles. Brandon Bean goes out and gets Rasul Douglas. Like, they put a lot together with a little, and you saw that really. It came up and caught up with them in the divisional round against the Chiefs, right? And they were 6-6 at one point. It caught up with them in the season. Then they ran past it. It caught up with them again in the playoffs. So if they can stay fully healthy, I've the utmost confidence in the team, in the coaching staff. Babich is now the defensive coordinator. We'll see if he's going to be calling plays or if it's going to be an Andy Reid defensive style where he'll be Bieniemy to McDermott's Reid. So,
still am very big on getting that first round bye.
100%.
That's been the bugaboo for the Bills.
I'm kind of past that.
Nah, I'm not.
Because I feel like now, look at the Chiefs.
The Chiefs went on the road
and won the Super Bowl. They don't have to be a different story. It's a copycat league. I think you should emulate that, if anything, right? Do your best to. Get younger. They got younger.
So get Kadarius Toney is what you're saying.
Absolutely not. No, do not get Kadarius Toney. But they had their struggles too. They were not the same Chiefs team that they have been.
Yeah, but
bar none.
In a lot of their Super Bowls, they did have the first round bye. And
they also had Marquez Valdes-Scantling just show up out of nowhere when he mm-hmm. couldn't do anything all season. Your team just kind of came together at the right time there. That's just, you know, that's a lot of what people don't talk about. Is the biggest stat, the unnamed stat, is luck. You know what I'm saying?
Getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, getting honestly. Hot at the right time, getting lucky. It has a lot more to do than you think. So, listen, the Bills, I think, are in a good spot. The Sabres, we shall see. 5 points out from a playoff spot. We shall see what happens tonight. Ooh, it's going to be a good one, the Kraken. Hopefully they can beat them for the first time, you know, because that's been hanging over the Sabres' heads for a while now. I have a buddy who's a Kraken fan and never ceases to stop saying that. So, hopefully that ends, but we're going to take a quick time out here, a little quick segment there to get connected with our fans. And we'll be joined by Brian Koziel on the other end of this break to talk some Sabres hockey and give you a little pre-pregame coming into Sabres After Dark. This is The Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to the Nightcap. It's Joe Calley getting ready for Sabres After Dark. Pregame starts in just about 15 minutes. Brian Koziel joins me now to speak a little bit on the state of the Sabres, I guess, heading into this exciting matchup in, you know, the final couple weeks of the season here. So, Brian, how are you out there? I mean, what how are you feeling about the game? Let's just start with that.
Well, I guess if I'm being honest, past history would say not good, because the Sabres have never beaten Seattle. I know it's a small sample size of only five games, but to never have beaten them, like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a trend. It's not just two games, like, it's five. The Kraken are a team that, you know, maybe didn't have the ingredients that, I like that word, ingredients. They didn't have the ingredients maybe that Vegas did with the expansion draft format. It was toned back a little after Vegas, you know, went to the Cup in their first year.
Yeah, right.
And the league was like, geez, you know, I don't know if we can just, you know, hand these teams an automatic pass to the postseason. So Seattle's been okay. I think, you know, you don't want your expansion teams to just be, you know, go through and be like 10-72. You don't want that. You want to build the fan base. They obviously, you know, they hit a home run in Vegas, and I think it's going to work well with Seattle. But over the course of their time, they obviously made the postseason last year, and now here in year three, teetering on the playoffs, but still on the outside looking in, kind of a similar spot to maybe where the Sabres are. They're both sixth. They're both in sixth place in their own division. With Seattle in the Pacific and, of course, the Sabres in the Atlantic. Buffalo enters tonight five back of a playoff spot. Now, Seattle is much more out. They're 11 out. So their chances of the postseason are much more slim than even the Sabres are. That are, you know, I saw today some of the statistical websites that do it, you know, 6.7%, maybe 5.8%, some of the sites that do that for the Sabres. So I got to imagine Seattle is, you know, 0.something% at this point.
Got to be,
considering,
right?
Considering how low they are. But the Sabres have struggled with Seattle, and they're a big physical team. They're bigger than the Sabres. They play them physical, and the Sabres seem to not handle that well. You'd think Buffalo would have an advantage with their speed, and that all just kind of depends on, are they in the mood to play it? Because as we know this year, it's been unpredictable at times in terms of maybe what style of game the Sabres are going to play. We hear Don Granato for a long time this year say, well, we couldn't get to our game, or it took too long to get to our game. I mean, these last month and a half, it's been a lot better. But Seattle should be a team that the Sabres should be quicker than, and they need to definitely play that direct style and get to the net and use their speed and dump and go, and not try to carry things through the neutral zone or make too many passes. It's got to be quick, and it's got to be decisive, because Seattle would love to clog it up, and they'd love to get up 1-0, and then they'd love to put the clamps on, and I think, and bang you around and make you annoyed and block shots. So
yeah,
the Sabres got to get off to a good start, and I think put put the afterburners on, put pressure on them right away, and let's see if they can cough it up and, you know, lead to a goal ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I watched in that Islanders game. The pace was set immediately. The physicality was set immediately. They were moving quick, and they just didn't care at all. I mean, they cared, but you know what I mean. They were just moving without thought. And that's when I feel like they're at their best, right? They're not overthinking it. When they think too much, try and hang out in the neutral zone. When they just dump the puck and move, like you said, that is the epitome of the Sabres team. That's when they play at their best. Do you think, I mean, looking at last season to this season, do you think they were trying to cater to their defense more this season than they were last season, instead of just kind of saying, hey, offense, offense, offense? Or what do you think was the change? Because you'd think they wouldn't be this close to a playoff spot with how the season's been talked about, realistically, you know, but they are still within 5 points. So what exactly do you think, though, has changed from last season to this season?
Yeah, I think they've definitely tried to make a little bit more of an emphasis on defensive soundness and decision-making in their own end. It has definitely, at times, I think, hampered them, because you see the players maybe not get going right away to that immediate decision on the offensive side, and you wonder how much of it are they thinking about the defense at that point. Last year, I wouldn't use the word careless or reckless. I think that's probably too strong.
Right.
But carefree, maybe, in terms of how they played. As if, like, we're going to go on offense, we're going to try and score, and we'll deal with what happens with it afterwards.
Yeah, it was almost like a pickup game every game.
Yeah.
You know? Like street hockey.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember, you know, Lindy Ruff, when his teams went to those back-to-back conference finals, would say that, you know, he'd always want his defense to pinch in, or he'd always want the forward to go ahead and take that chance, because he figured, hey, at that time they had so much talent up front, we're going to put the puck in the net more often on those times that we take the chances than we are Ryan Miller giving up a goal on a 2-on-1 back the other way, or a 3-on-2 back the other way. He had enough faith in him. The Sabres last year had horrendous goaltending and no one they could count on. So they really probably, you know, to play that style with consistency and, you know, having to think that they ever got into the playoffs, like how that would go, it probably wouldn't have gone well. So I think that they had to improve the defense. Now, does it have to come at the expense of the offense? Ultimately, it shouldn't, in the sense that what you saw them do against Detroit on Tuesday, last Tuesday, and what you saw them do against the Islanders, you had both. You had the ability to play with your speed and create all these scoring chances and get all these shots without it being at the expense of the defense. Now, obviously, a major piece of this is that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has stepped up his game to a whole new level and is playing these last 2.5 months almost like a Vezina-winning goaltender. So
essentially,
that piece, in the sense, now that, you know, kind of give you the reflection back to the Ryan Miller days and Lindy Ruff strategy of saying, hey, you can go ahead and do this because we have the goalie in return to do it. I think probably now, I still think that the offense is still not where it needs to be, considering the numbers that they put up last year. They were all career highs. You know, to have some of them regress back maybe was natural to be expected, but they all came back to be expected, essentially. I mean, Tage Thompson was thinking, could he get to 50 at the end of last year?
Yeah.
He just hit 20
right
yesterday. Now, he's missed some time, but, I mean, Tuck's way down. I mean, Dylan Cousins has been, in terms of scoring, I think his play's been better, but in terms of actual goal production, way down.
Mm-hmm.
Skinner's down and inconsistent. Skinner's always been streaky, but, I mean, he's, you know, last year he was, I think, believe 35, and, you know, he's only got 21. He might end up in the mid-20s here by the time we're done. So
yeah,
everybody's down in that sense. So there has to be, I think, a happy balance. The fact that you do have now what you think is a proven, or a goalie that now is playing like a number one goalie, I think maybe they can crank up the offense a little. And I think they have to do it here, because they're losing games again. The other night against Detroit, I mean, it's a 4-1 final, but one's an empty netter. Luukkonen plays well enough for you to win. You have three goals against in the NHL. You should be able to get to three against James Reimer. And Buffalo only managed one. So in the end there, it still comes down to, did you score enough? And, you know, I think about these games that the Sabres lost or couldn't get it to overtime, and where the extra handful of points could come from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
Last year it was easy to pinpoint. They dropped 8 games in November. But this season it's just kind of, hey, if you ended up scraping out a couple extra points here and there, you would have been there, you know? So
there's so many games that they just couldn't get it to overtime. I mean, I know the Sabres play Vancouver tomorrow. That 1-0 loss at home in January when Luukkonen played out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for you not to be able to get a goal, even to get a point, even if you lost in overtime or in the shootout, like, you know, that's going to come back to haunt him for sure. And, you know, it probably already is right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen expected to make the start tonight. Now, Brian, they're bringing up Devin Levi for the Western road trip. Do you feel like that they're starting to lose faith in Eric Comrie?
I think that that's definitely the sign that we're getting from the team. I mean, if you had enough faith in Comrie, then you'd play him, especially because this could possibly be even the last start that you would need out of Eric Comrie. There's one set of back-to-back games left, and they're both home. The right. Last time the Sabres had that back-to-back home sequence was the start of the month with Vegas and Winnipeg, and Luukkonen played both. Now, he did let in a couple of softies in the third in that Winnipeg game when they went into the third with a 2-1 lead, but he was great for the first 40 minutes. Maybe they're thinking, all right, we need to play the backup twice. But if you did have any faith in Eric Comrie, you could play him tomorrow. And then you could even come back with, if you wanted to do Levi for the home game, because you could still then let him stay in Rochester for the next 2 weeks. Because it's a home game, he's an hour away, and get him up here for one night and then send him back down. They obviously have no faith at all in Comrie, at least at the moment, where these games matter. Now, if the Sabres go 1-3 on this road trip, and you know, by the time you get to the next back-to-back games next Friday and Saturday against New Jersey and Toronto, it might be a moot point of whether the games have enough meaning and maybe Comrie plays. But
yeah,
for now, because they have meaning and because Levi's been so good in Rochester, they obviously feel that that gives them the best chance to win. And Kevin Adams said when he spoke last week, he said, look, ultimately, there's so many factors that come into these decisions, but he said ultimately the Buffalo Sabres organization winning is still first. That's ahead of Rochester. That's ahead of worrying about, you know, hurting some goaltender's feelings. If they think Devin Levi gives them a better chance to win when they're in must-win mode, which they are, over Eric Comrie, well, I think message received from everybody with the call-up.
Yeah, and I think that's the message that should be being sent for sure. So, you know, it's do or die at this point, and it's a tough climb up. If you won against Detroit on Saturday, it might be a different situation, but you're absolutely right. Lukanen's been playing out of his mind. I think I'm in agreement here that I trust Levi with the way he's at least been playing in Rochester. I know it's the AHL, but the way he's been playing, I think he's going to put up a better performance on this back-to-back than Comrie would have. And not saying Comrie played horrible in his last outing. He didn't. It was just kind of, you know, who do you trust more in that situation? And it's for sure Levi. Brian, thank you very much for coming on in the final few minutes here. Everyone stay tuned for Sabres After Dark pregame with Brian and company here. This has been the Nightcap on WGR. My name's Joe Calley. Appreciate everyone who called, everyone who's listening, everyone who tweeted in or X'd in, whatever we call that now. Stay tuned for Sabres After Dark. We'll be right back here tomorrow for 2 hours. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.